Thank you for choosing Your Extra Tech Podcast. Be sure to check out the links and sponsors in the description.
You just saved that woman's life, the husband's wife, mother of the children. You affect so many lives every day just by going to work.
Hello and welcome to the YXT Podcast. My name is Jason and I will be your X-ray tech for today. Today I'm welcome with a special guest, Kathy DeGelder. She is the Director of Women's Imaging for the Medical Technology Management Institute, better known as MTMI. Kathy graduated from the State University of Cortland with a bachelor's in science in 1979. She worked for Eastman Kodak Company for many years as a marketing education specialist, concentrating in mammography education. She lectured primarily on mammography quality control nationwide for many years. Kathy taught mammography quality control for the FDA for several years in the MQSA Inspector Training Program. She became a worldwide product manager for X-Rite Incorporated, who is the primary manufacturer of mammography quality control instruments worldwide. At X-Rite, she continued her mammography education courses until she started her own company, Achieving Quality Imaging, AQI, in 1995. AQI conducted initial training in mammography courses as well as mammography education courses until merging with MTMI in September of 2013. She continues to teach and participate in a variety of mammography education courses. She is looking to retire this year in 2022 after several years of being in the field and making a real impact in it. And today she's going to join us and we're going to talk about how to enter the field of mammography. So, Kathy, thank you so much for joining me today. If you could let us know, you know, who you are and you know.
Well, you gave quite a good summary there. Yeah, I've been doing this for basically 35 years. It's been a very rewarding career. When I first started working for Eastman Kodak Company in the medical imaging industry, at the time, there was not digital. All radiology departments were filmed back then. It was just a matter of whether you were using Kodak, DuPont, Agfa, Fuji, Konica. It didn't matter. All departments used film. So for me, when I look back to those days, I really feel like I picked the best 35 years to be in the industry because I started out in film and I got to watch over the years the transformation into 2D and then the transformation into 3D and now the beginnings of AI. So I really feel like I've had the whole gamut of mammography. But very early on in my career with Kodak, I would go into radiology departments and I was a film processor chemistry expert for Kodak and I would go into radiology departments helping them make their films look good out of the processor because that was the only images we had back then was film. But everywhere I went, 100% of the time, every department I went into, no matter where in the country it was, I would ask where their biggest problems in the radiology department were with film processing. And it was always mammography, mammography, mammography. So I very early on gravitated strictly toward mammography and found it fascinating because that's where the biggest challenges were. Because in mammography, that's where you need to see the finest detail and the finest and the best contrast in the whole department is in mammography. And so for me, it was a challenge. And I found it very rewarding to help breast center after breast center, whether they were on their own or part of a hospital radiology department, teach them about the importance of processing, help them through that process, and just reward them with beautiful mammography images coming out of the processor to hand over to the radiologist for diagnosis. So I loved every bit of it. I soon was brought, after probably 5 years in the field, I was brought back up to Rochester headquarters, where I was on a team of educators in the Marketing Education Center. And then we were sent nationwide to lecture. Kodak at the time was often being asked to provide speakers for state society meetings. Remember, back in those days, there was no online continuing education available. Everyone had to go in person. So there was a lot of need for speakers at these state society meetings, at, nationwide. So I got to spend an awful lot of time lecturing around the country with very well-known radiologists, very well-known mammography technologists that were really starting the whole scene of mammography in the United States, because it was just really in the mid-80s where we started promoting breast cancer screening for the first time. A lot of it had to do with one of the Nancy Reagan developed breast cancer, Betty Ford, Susan G. Komen died. And in the 80s, we started promoting breast cancer screening for the first time. Now, you could get a mammogram in the 70s, but there weren't breast centers. We weren't advertising screening mammograms. We started that in the mid 80s. So that's kind of when I got into the industry. And by the late 80s, early 90s, breast centers were popping up all over the United States, but there weren't any rules. So as it turns out, there was a lot of inappropriate personnel, unqualified personnel taking the mammograms, unqualified personnel reading the mammograms, no concern for overdosage, just because there were no rules. So I was involved in teaching in mammography as we were seeing the transformation of the Mammography Quality Standards Act that became law in 1992. And I'd already been teaching in the field for, five good years. And so I was seeing that transformation of quality as well. So I'll always feel blessed that I had that 35-year span that I did, because I got to see it all begin. I got to see it all transform, all the changes in the 90s that we saw through the Mammography Quality Standards Act. And then I got to begin teaching for the FDA, helping the inspectors in training know how to inspect mammography facilities for quality control. So I was involved in that for probably 8 years. And again, also then getting to go worldwide with X-Rite and spread my mammography knowledge to other countries for a period of time. And then all ending in 1995 with starting my own company, Achieving Quality Imaging, because by then I really had quite an exposure because of the teaching I did for Kodak. I owe everything to Kodak. They taught me very well. And they taught me how to teach. They taught me how to make mammograms look good out of processors. And they taught me how to have people come to programs and leave wanting to send everybody they knew back to that program. So they taught me a lot. So I was very well prepared in 1995 when I started my own business, Achieving Quality Imaging, where I strictly put on continuing education courses in mammography for seasoned mammography technologists, and also started the initial training programs in Chicago in 1996, and then Las Vegas in 1997. Las Vegas programs to this day are still very successful, but I really have a passion for helping X-ray technologists that want to get into the field of mammography cross-train. And that's what I'm still doing today. I'm still an instructor in the 5-day initial training in mammography course. In fact, I'm at MTMI headquarters. I work out of my home in Michigan, but I'm at MTMI right now as we speak. And the course just started today, and I will be teaching in it for the rest of the week this week. So,
wow. What an honor to have you as a guest. And
it's been my honor to be part of all of your lives.
Oh, thank you.
The way I look at it.
Yes. And I see a great, I think to really see where we're at today, it's important to understand, you know, where it came from, like the beginnings, because mammography is definitely something that's not going to go anywhere. It's vital, plays a big role. And, you know, maybe some people don't know too much about it. So we're here to highlight some of the things about mammography. So mammography is low dose radiation, right? We're still using radiation, but nowadays it's lower doses. The equipment seems to get better. It's better quality images nowadays. And that's important because we get, more information and better diagnosis. So very exciting to see where it's going to go in the next 5-10 years. Somebody's interested in coming into mammography. You know, what are the steps they could take to come into the field?
Okay, well, before I address that, though, I'd like to comment on the dosage part that you just mentioned. So I would like to, you know, clarify that mammography is low dose. And think about it. It's the only modality in radiographic imaging where we are taking a normal, healthy population and submitting them to radiation that they don't need. In other words, in other modalities of radiology, you go get an x-ray because something hurts or something's been found and we need an x-ray. So we're getting the x-ray because we need the x-ray to help solve the problem. In mammography, we're radiating 1,000 women to find 3 early breast cancers. So we have to be careful about dose. Dose is very government regulated in mammography. Dose is extremely low. It's the safest place to be as an x-ray technologist is if you're pregnant, if you're a woman and you're pregnant in the radiology department, the safest place to be is in the mammography department. So I do want to emphasize, because that's one of the beautiful things about mammography, and so many women that aren't in this field won't get mammograms because they're afraid of radiation. Well, believe me, the radiation is extremely low. It has to be because we're radiating a normal, healthy population. Wow. So nothing to be afraid of. It's all very well regulated. And there are many examples of radiation exposure that you get far greater just in normal life than getting a mammogram. And just as one simple example, as a radiation worker, a mammography technologist could have 1 mammogram a month for the entire year and still be under the allowed radiation dose. And we're just asking women to come in for 1 year. So that's a good example of how low the radiation dose is. So I did want to start with that because I think it is a very important aspect.
Absolutely.
But now getting to how you enter the field of mammography. And that's where, again, I find all of my joy. So under the Mammography Quality Standards Act that was passed in 1992, you have to first be a fully licensed x-ray technologist. You can't have a limited licensure. And even nurses nor radiologists can perform mammograms unless they also have an RT behind their names. So one of the things about mammography first to understand is you do have to be a fully licensed x-ray technologist. Then once you're a fully licensed x-ray technologist, if you want to enter into the field, you have basically 2 hats to wear. The first hat, and I like to explain it this way because it can be very confusing when you're entering mammography for the first time. So I try to explain it in 2 parts. The first part and the first step you need to take after being a fully licensed x-ray technologist is you have to follow the U.S. law, Mammography Quality Standards Act, MQSA. Under MQSA, you basically need to have an initial training in mammography course, 40 hours, which can include the 25 supervised mammograms. And you need to have also part of that 40 hours has to be 8 hours of training in full field digital mammography if you're going to be working on a 2D machine, and 8 hours of breast tomosynthesis training if you're going to be working on a 3D machine. You also have to have 8 hours in film screen if you're going to be working in analog, but there's only, the last I checked, 4, as of this date, 4 analog machines left in the United States. So we don't even really talk about analog anymore. So basically you need a 40-hour course, which includes 8 hours of 2D training, 8 hours of 3D training, and 25 mammograms under supervision of a legal mammography technologist. Now, when you have all of that, you are then considered a legal mammography technologist under U.S. law. You do not have to have the M behind your name from the ART to be considered legal. You just have to go through the steps I just outlined. You have to have an RT. You have to have a 40-hour initial training course, which includes that 8 hours of 2D, 8 hours of 3D, and you have to perform 25 mammograms under supervision of a legal mammography technologist. When you've got that all done, you are now considered a legal mammography technologist. At that point, you can go out and look for a job. You can be hired unless there is a state law saying that you have to have an M behind your name. Mm-hmm. There's very few states that have that. You are legal at that point, but you do have to check your state guidelines. Some states will allow you to work without an M for a certain amount of time, for example, a year, and you have to have your M within a year. So it is all different in the different states, but basically nationwide, you're legal after that process. But everyone goes on to get the M behind their name because it's more facility driven. Most organizations and breast centers want a mammography technologist to also have that M behind their name. So once you become legal, you take off that MQSA hat. Now you go over here and you put the ARRT hat on. What do we have to do for the ARRT to be board eligible so we can even sit for the registry exam to get that M? So that's step number two. So once we've become legal, now we follow what the ARRT requires. And what they require is they're categorized in letters A, B, C, and D. Step A under the ARRT rules is you have to become legal with the process I just explained. So that's step A. Step B is you need to have a total of 100 mammograms under your belt. They'll allow the 25 supervised that you did to become legal count toward that 100. So the technologist will need 75 more mammograms to total 100. Letter C's will list all of the mammography quality control tests and procedures that have to be done a minimum number of times before you can sit for the board. So that's letter C. And they'll let you know what QC tests have to be done, how many times they have to be done. Once you're done with that, and you can do these letters B, C, and D in any order, but I'm just going by the letters now. So C is all of the mammography quality control tests and procedures. Then you enter into D, and D basically has two parts. The first part is you have to sit with the radiologist for 10 mammographic dictations. Those dictations do not have to be mammograms that you've performed. The day that you go in and sit down with the radiologist, whatever 10 are in front of them at that point can be the 10 that you sit with that radiologist to watch them dictate. They can be all screening, they can be all diagnostic, they can be a combination of both. But that radiologist will have to initial that you sat with them through 10 dictations. The purpose of that is supposed to be a learning opportunity where the radiologist is explaining to the mammography technologist in training, what they're looking at, why this particular, object in the mammogram might seem suspicious, why it's definitely benign, why we might need to do further workup on it, whether the positioning is good, if we have enough pec muscle, for example, et cetera. So it's supposed to be a learning experience where the radiologist is teaching the technologist what they're looking for in the images that are ultimately produced by that technologist in training. And then the second part of D is there are a list of 11 elective procedures of which the technologist will need to pick four of. And that is just a learning opportunity as well. So for example, watching a breast MRI or observing a breast ultrasound or observing an implant imaging or a recall from a screening mammogram or a diagnostic mammogram, et cetera. There's a list of 11 opportunities. You pick four of those. Once you have everything I just talked about done, starting with the 100 mammograms, all of the QC, sitting with the radiologist, the four elective procedures, you are now eligible to sit for that ARRT mammography exam. And once you pass it, you have that M behind your name.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys, a common question I get is if I offer tutoring or coaching, and the answer is yes, I do. You could sign up for a session by visiting yourxraytech.com. Plus, you could get $10 off your session with the promo code TECH10. That's TECH10. Zero. I look forward to working with you soon. A lot of opportunities in the mammography field. What are some of the opportunities once somebody goes through all that, they're now a legal mammographer? Where are some places they could work or things that they could do as a legal mammographer?
Well, sure. So the first thing after becoming legal, and then, again, most go on to get their M. You're still very new and you're a very beginner. So most beginners start with screening mammograms only. It depends on the breast center that you're going to be working at, how staffed they are, how short staffed they are, what you'll get thrown into from the beginning. But a perfect scenario would be being hired into a breast center that has a lot of experienced mammography technologists already. You start out with screening only, where you can get help if you need it. And then as it just takes practice, there's nobody that starts out in mammography that knows, you know, perfectly how to do mammograms. It really is practice. But having other experienced technologists around to help you is the ideal situation. Also having radiologists that will comment back on how your positioning is, the images that you're giving him or her. That's very helpful as well. After screening mammograms for a while, then the next step would be getting into diagnostic mammograms, those where we have suspicious lesions and we have to do additional positioning besides the CC and the MLO, maybe the LMMO, the MLO, the from below, the tangential, whatever's ordered by the radiologist. So that comes with time where you learn how to do diagnostic procedures. And then I always tell the technologists that are going through training in our classes, these days, because breast density has become such an important issue in the United States, a woman with dense breasts, meaning there's BI-RADS A, B, C, and D. BI-RADS A is fatty. BI-RADS D is extremely dense, and B and C are in between. But someone that's been diagnosed with a BI-RADS C or D, meaning they have dense breasts, they really should look into additional imaging besides the screening mammogram, such as breast ultrasound. Breast ultrasound is being used more and more in conjunction with mammography for women with dense breasts. So I always give advice to the technologist, go out, do screening mammograms for as long as possible till you feel comfortable. Then learn diagnostic mammograms. Do that for a year, year and a half. Then go back and think about going into breast ultrasound. Now, what I find that a lot of technologists don't realize is you do not have to go through the ARDMS. You don't have to go through sonography school to become a breast sonographer. The ART offers a BS. So you can take an exam in breast sonography through the ART. If you're an RT, get a BS behind your name. So now you're an RT RMBS. So now you're going to be even more marketable because you not only have mammographic skills, but you also have breast sonography skills. And then if you really want to, there's other imaging centers around that are just complete women's imaging centers that do mammography, breast ultrasound, bone densitometry. So go and get your bone densitometry designation as well, and you'll be very well-rounded, very marketable. And, you know, it's a great career to go into having all three of those, but especially breast ultrasound. Don't do it right away. You've got to learn the breast first before you can understand breast ultrasound as good as you should, because a simple turn can make something malignant look benign and vice versa. So learn the breast first and then go into breast sonography. But I think that's a great career path to take right off the bat, because the bottom line is over 300,000 women in the United States every year are diagnosed with breast cancer. Over 300,000. About 280,000 women are diagnosed with invasive breast cancer, meaning the breast cancer, wherever it started, it is now broken out. It may be still in the breast, but it's broken out of either the lobule that it started in or the duct that it started in. It might be contained to the breast, but it has broken out. That's invasive. Or it has gone elsewhere through the lymph nodes to other body parts. 280,000 women a year diagnosed with invasive. Another 50,000 a year are diagnosed with what's called ductal carcinoma in situ, meaning it is breast cancer under the microscope, but it's still contained in where it started. It has not broken out and gone anywhere. So that totals about 325,000 women or 330,000 women a year. And 85% of those women that are newly diagnosed each year, I'm going to repeat that because this one's real important to me. 85% of women that are diagnosed each year of that 330,000 women, 85% had no family history at all. They are the first person in their lineage to ever get breast cancer. So first of all, my point is breast cancer is not going away. It's the second most common killer of cancer in women in the United States. Lung cancer is number one, breast cancer is number two. It's the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, right behind skin cancer, but non-harmful skin cancers. So really, I look at it as breast cancer is the number one diagnosed harmful cancer in women in the United States. It's not going away. Mammography technologists will have a job their entire career because of how basically invasive mammography or breast cancer is in women all over the world. So it's a great opportunity to do something with your life that can change so many lives just by going to work every day. Let me tell you something. When you are doing a screening mammogram on a young woman, maybe has three small children at home, she might be in her early 40s and she's healthy, no family history of breast cancer at all. And you see on her image an early, or what you think might be an early breast cancer. Of course, it's diagnosed by the radiologist and sometimes goes on for further imaging to make sure, but under the microscope is where it's really diagnosed. But you found an early breast cancer that woman had no idea she had. You just saved that woman's life, the husband's wife, the mother of the children. You affect so many lives every day just by going to work, and it's not going to go away. So I just am so excited to see, you know, X-ray technologists go into the field of mammography because it's very passionate. That's why I have pink on. I have pink on every day I teach. We send these ladies away by the end of the week, all impassioned to go out and save the world through mammography.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Join us each week on the Well Beyond Medicine podcast as we explore the 80% of child health impacts that occur outside the doctor's office. Listen and subscribe at nemourswellbeyond.org, where you'll hear pediatric experts, researchers, and policymakers from around the world discussing ways they are revolutionizing children's health. I'm your host, Carol Vassar. Let's go.
Let's go.
Awesome.
Anyway, yeah,
that's awesome. Yes, absolutely. And you know, that was the goal of this podcast, is to really highlight the things that these technologies do on a regular basis. I mean, that's one story, that's one life, but you know, they're doing this on the regular. And pink is the color that's tied in with mammography. And there's even a month tied in with mammography.
October.
October, right? So what are some things that happen in October, or from your experience, or that mammographers could look forward to, or you know, what are things that happen around that month?
Well, October, it's interesting because the birthstone of October, I'm a Libra. I was born October 18th and my birthstone is pink. So I don't know if that's why October became Breast Cancer Awareness Month or not. It might be coincidental, but there's a lot of celebrations that go on nationwide in the month of October to bring awareness. Women, go get your, to the general public. This is the time to go get your mammograms. I know that departments themselves will have celebrations, you know, celebrating the mammography technologists. We always send our technologists away with the motto, saving lives one mammogram at a time. So that just really gets brought into the public, I think, more than any other month during the year. You'll see all kinds of pink items being sold in stores. You'll see a lot of breast cancer ribbon items being sold as well. So the whole point is to bring awareness to the public that mammography is important. And again, because 85% of women that are diagnosed each year had no family history, when you get into the field, you'll have, because when once your friends and coworkers and family members find out that you're a mammography technologist, you'll start hearing the reasons why they're not getting mammograms. And the number one reason that you will hear is, it's, I don't need to get a mammogram. It's not in my family history. And that's why I want you to, anyone going into the field, to always remember that statistic. I want you to tell any woman who says that to you, 85% of women diagnosed each year had no family history, get your mammogram. It will save your life. Breast cancer is an aging woman's disease, which is why screening doesn't start until the age of 40. under the American College of Radiology, the guidelines are the age of 40, because breast cancer is more prevalent in women over the age of 40. It does happen, however, in younger women. Breast cancer can be very hormonally related. It can be very genetic. It's always recommended if your mother had breast cancer before menopause at an earlier age, then you as a daughter should start your mammograms 10 years prior to the age your mom was when she was first diagnosed with breast cancer, unless it's below the age of 25. We think breasts are still developing and too radiosensitive below the age of 25. So they'll give women that maybe their mother was diagnosed with breast cancer at 31. So at the age of 21, instead of a mammogram, you'll have a breast ultrasound, for example. But anyway, it's a wonderful field to be part of. It's a wonderful field to take home to your friends, to your relatives, and to yourself as well. Don't forget your own self in this process. Don't get too busy to get your own mammogram as well.
Right. A great field, a lot of opportunities. There's room to grow and expand in the career. Once you obtain that license, how do you, maintain it? Is there continuing education involved?
That's a great question. So once you become a mammography technologist, you don't automatically stay one. You have to abide by MQSA rules of how to remain a legal mammography technologist. And how you do that is not difficult. There's two components that you have to maintain. And one is that you have to get 15 continuing education credits in mammography every 3 years. That's under MQSA. And you have to perform at least 200 mammograms every 2 years. And that's not hard to do. Once you're working in a very busy mammography facility, you'll be doing that every month. And they give you 2 years to get 200 mammograms. So if you go longer than 2 years without getting 200 mammograms, and I'll give this as an example. Let's say you've been working in mammography for 5 years. You become pregnant. You decide to stay home with your child until they go to kindergarten. It's just an example so I can make this easy. So you stay home with your child for 5 years. If you want to get back into mammography, don't stop doing your continuing education and don't lose your RT either. Remember, you have to have 24 credits every 2 years in X-ray to keep your X-ray license. You want to be doing that. You have to do 15 credits every 3 years in mammography. Continue doing that while you're at home so that you stay a legal X-ray technologist and you're keeping your credits up in mammography. Now, with that said, before I forget to mention it, you don't have to do 24 credits for the ART and a separate 15 for MQSA. Remember, mammography is X-ray. So the 15 credits that you're doing for MQSA can be used toward the 24 that you need for ART. So to keep it simple, I always recommend, I'll mention this again, since you need 15 credits every 3 years for MQSA in mammography, if you make at least 15 out of your 24 credits every 2 years for the ART, you're always going to be good for MQSA and you won't even have to think about it. You can have all 24 credits in mammography if you want, because again, mammography is X-ray. So if you plan on going back into mammography, why not have all 24 credits in mammography to keep your X-ray license? And then you'll always be good for MQSA. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But now your child goes to kindergarten, to get back to the example, and you want to get back into mammography. You've kept your credits up, but you've now gone more than 2 years without obtaining or performing 200 mammograms. So what you have to do to get back into the field is very simple. 25 mammograms under supervision and you're back in business at that point. And you can do 25 supervised mammograms in 2 to 3 days. So it's very easy to get back into the field. The only thing I want to mention, just to be technically correct, is when you are requalifying, you've already been a mammographer, you've left the field for more than 2 years, you're now coming back into the field. You perform your 25 supervised mammograms, you've kept up your 15 credits every 3 years in mammography, boom, you're good to go again. From the day you finish your 25th supervised mammogram, you're only going to have 6 months to get 175 more mammograms to get up to that 200. remember, you have to have 200 mammograms every 2 years to stay legal. When you're requalifying, you have to get all 200 in the first 6 months. Now, they will last for 2 years, but they want you to get them all within the first 6 months. They want to make sure that you're back up running again with good practice before. So those, again, you have to get the 200 mammograms when you're requalifying in the first 6 months. You can count the 25 supervised toward that 200. So you'll need 175 additional, and then that those will last for 2 years. There's the reason why I really want to emphasize that is I've had requalifiers come back to me and say, Kathy, because we, MTMI, we have breast centers around the United States that are partners of ours where we can send you to get your 25 supervised mammograms done to either initially qualify you or to requalify you. We can do both. And I've had requalifiers call me. I want to get back into the field. They get their 25 supervised mammograms. They don't find a job. 6 months goes by. They're illegal at that point again, and they have to do the 25 supervised all over again. So make sure you've got a job lined up and you know that you're confident that you're going to get those additional 175 in the 6 months. That's just a helpful hint based on my experience.
Awesome. Yeah. And MTMI, their website is mtmi.net, correct?
Yes. www.mtmi.net. And if you are interested in, mammography, we have a whole page of women's imaging courses and lots of mammography courses. So on the main toolbar of the MTMI website on the homepage, you can scroll down under technologist and click on mammography, and you'll see all the mammography courses that we offer. And also on the MTMI website, if you go to the homepage and you scroll all the way down the homepage until you see a very big eyeball with a pink ribbon in it, that's a video that I made about 2012, so about 10 years ago now, professionally done. And that video is a wonderful opportunity to just see the difference that you can make. I made this video as a thank you to mammography technologists everywhere and breast imaging radiologists everywhere for the life-saving work that they do. It's about a 4-minute video. The first 45 seconds are silent because I want you to really read the words and take in the words. And then the music comes on and you will see throughout that video the important difference that you make, because all of the women in that video are breast cancer survivors whose lives were saved due to mammography technologists, breast imaging radiologists. So it's a nice thank you. And I highly recommend you watch it. It might stir up some passion to go into the field, knowing the difference you can make.
That's awesome. And I'll go ahead and add a link to the video here to that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that so that way they could see that video. So that's awesome. Thank you for putting that together.
And also, I just wanted to say, while we're talking about the MTMI website, if you are watching this and you are an X-ray technologist interested in going into mammography, and by the way, you can be a student as well. You can take the course as an X-ray student and it will last for your entire career. You simply can't perform mammograms without supervision until you have an RT. But you can get mammograms done if you have a mammography program in your X-ray school. You can do your supervised mammograms under supervision while in school, and you can take this course while in school and it will still count for when you're out of school, and then you can go directly into mammography. But if you go to the MTMI website, and again on that toolbar, click on technologist from the drop down, click on mammography, and go to the pink mammography page and scroll down until you see initial training in mammography. You can click on that and read all about entering the field. There's a video that I have on there as well, kind of summarizing what we've talked about on this podcast, but you've got it to look at again if you're interested. But we've got lots of good information, and we have a course. MTMI offers a course once a month, year round, and you can take it as a webinar. All 12 of our courses can be taken as a webinar. 9 of the 12 are live. As well, we have 3 in Milwaukee every year, 3 in Houston, 3 in Las Vegas. And then we have 3 that even the instructors are home, 3 that are webinar only. But if you're watching this and you can't get away from your family, or it's not in your budget to fly somewhere and stay in a hotel for a week, every month we offer it, and it can be taken from home as a webinar. So I highly recommend that you look into that. We cross-trained almost 800 X-ray technologists last year into mammography, and this year we're on track to cross-train over 800. There's no company that cross-trains more X-ray technologists. We've got a great program, and we really send you up. It's also a board review course. So our course is not only meets MQSA standards to be initial training, but it's also a ART mammography and California State Mammography Board review course. So we will cover all of the content specifications that the boards can ask you about throughout that 5 days. So it serves those two purposes. Yeah.
Awesome. Now here's an interesting question, because you say technologists can cross-train. We mentioned women. Are there any male mammographers, or is that a path that males can take as well?
So I know of no male mammography technologists in the United States personally. I heard there's one in California. But in general, and for all the years I've been in it, I do know that it's not a field that men go into. And in all honesty, I believe it's not. I think men would make great mammography technologists because their hands are strong. Part of the magic of being a good mammography technologist is getting all that breast tissue pulled on to the detector. So men would be great at it. But because a mammography technologist is alone in a room with a woman, they would have to have somebody else hired to be in that room. So that's the main reason, because now we're talking about having to have additional staff. And I believe that's the main reason. It's not prejudicial. It's just additional staffing costs.
Yeah, that's a great answer right there. So it's not impossible. It's just you got to work through a couple of things.
Well, and I will tell you that it's not illegal. In other words, I've had men in my initial training courses taking the course because they're going into mammography. But I'll tell you, every male that I've ever had, the reason why they're taking the course is they are in the service. They're an X-ray technologist on a base. They've been transferred to a base. They're the only X-ray technologist on that base, and mammography has to be offered. And so that X-ray tech, remember, you can't be a mammography technologist until you're first an X-ray tech. So if the male's the only X-ray tech, they'll send them to become a mammography technologist so that they can do the mammogram. So again, it's not illegal by any means. It's just additional staffing has to be put in the room when the mammograms are being done by a male.
Great opportunities, a lot of great information. I want to talk a little bit about your company, if that's okay, that you opened back in 1995, because that's another thing that technologists could eventually do, right?
Absolutely.
Go into their business for themselves, which is something I kind of encourage down the line once you feel comfortable. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like what made you make that leap, right? To say, you know what, I enjoy what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing, but I'm going to go.
Well, mine was a little bit different of a reason, because at the time I had that worldwide traveling job with X-Rite that was based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I lived at the time. So I was the worldwide product manager of the instruments that at the time everyone was film screen still. And those were the main instruments used for quality control, and quality control was my field of expertise. But I was actually in Europe when I found out that I was pregnant for the first time at a later age. And I knew that I couldn't travel around the world with the baby. So that was my, but by that time that happened, I had been teaching for, 12 years around the country. So I had so much experience in radiology departments, learning from and teaching with mammography technologists, medical physicists, and world-known radiologists at the time, that I felt that I had enough experience teaching that maybe I could start my own company. And I had a lot of help from these radiologists that I had spoken with mammography technologists that I had spoken with. So I had a lot of help getting started. However, that's very unique. That's not how it's normally done. How it's normally done is you are a mammography technologist for a certain amount of time until you really got it down, because you need to know, you know, your field so that you can develop the right training program for that. So, you know, get to know mammography, get to know the ins and outs of the mammography department, get to know all aspects, get to know how to do the quality control, to not know all the workings of the department. And then you've got an awful lot to contribute. So what I recommend that you start out by becoming, say, a speaker as a consultant. For example, call MTMI. We get all of our consultants, they're X-ray technologists in all modalities, but specifically mammography. We'll have mammography technologists call and say, you know, I think I'd love to teach. I've been doing this for a while and I want to give back and I want to teach. That's how it starts. So start by becoming a consultant for a company like MTMI. Do that, get your feet wet under that. And then you're really, with the experience you had as a mammography technologist working with a world-class company like MTMI, now you're ready to go out on your own, hang a shingle on your door and start your own business. But we are always looking for mammography consultants. And I think it's a great opportunity. If you don't know, you can still have a full-time job and do teaching on the side. We have evening webinars that you can do. We have Saturday webinars that you can do for extra money and still stay working. Or you could be a per diem and then have time to do some live conferences with us. We can work around your schedule. And eventually, some of our consultants are consulting enough for us that they really don't even need to work anymore. So we have things called ACR failures. We have in-services that we send consultants to where you literally get sent by MTMI to different breast centers all over the United States to go in and help them with, say, positioning. They call MTMI, can you send a consultant in to help our mammography technologists position better? So that's an example. You could become not only a teaching consultant, but you could become an in-service consultant where you went in two departments hands-on helping. So there's all kinds of opportunities with MTMI, and I highly encourage you to, you know, follow that line if that's something that you want to do. Give us a call.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, I'm retiring at the end of this year. We're going to be looking for someone to take my place. So if you're interested in becoming the director of women's imaging education for MTMI, by all means.
Congratulations on the retirement. And any advice for somebody who is willing to take on that role or is going to take on that role? Any advice to that individual or anybody taking on that kind of role?
You have to be obviously dedicated to... So my role is someone that oversees all of the women's imaging education programs for MTMI. So that includes mammography programs, breast ultrasound programs, bone densitometry programs. We have cross-training in all three of those modalities. But we also have a lot of webinars in different aspects of mammography in the evenings and on weekends. And so your role is to really oversee all of those educational programs. You know, trying to work with the instructors, making sure that they're delivering what the quality that MTMI wants to be delivered. So you're working closely with instructors. Your whole goal and aim is to make the educational programs that we're delivering the best out there so that people want to come back to our program. So you want to be dedicated to education. You want to know what you're talking about, and you know, if you've been in the field, you know what you're talking about. You have to have a passion for it. You have to be able to obviously be a team player. We're a team here at MTMI. I can't do it all myself. When I was achieving quality imaging, it was kind of me, myself, and I, and I was marketing, and I was meeting planning, and I was ASRT approvals, and I was teaching the classes. I was finding the hotels. I was finding my sponsors. I was doing everything, and it was exhausting. Here at MTMI, we have people that are employed to do all of those different things. So we all work together. So you have to be a team player as well. And mainly team player, excited, knowledgeable, passionate, energetic. It takes a special kind of person to make educational programs entertaining at the same way as educational. And what I mean by entertaining is something into the programs that makes the women go, or, and, you know, men can take our courses too, but the attendees go away telling everybody you need to go to that program because that was the best one I've ever been to. That's your goal, is to make the educational program something that is sought out after by others, you know, wanting that type of education.
We're about ready to wrap this up. I appreciate the time. Sure. It's been awesome. I look forward to maybe doing another one in the near future.
Absolutely.
If possible. But yeah, any closing statements?
Well, sure. I'll close with this because since this is my last year, I am conducting, if anyone is in the area of the Midwest, Northern Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota specifically, I will be putting on my final 26th, I've been doing it for 26 years, 26th annual Duluth Mammography Conference. It's for seasoned mammography technologists to get their continuing education, but it's an extremely incredible event. We start off Breast Cancer Awareness Month this year in Duluth, October 1st and 2nd. We have world-class speakers coming to it. It's a two-day conference, a Saturday, Sunday, October 1st and 2nd. We'll have breast cancer survivors come at the end of day one that walk to very powerful music, holding signs how long they've been survivors. And then there's always a guest survivor speaker that addresses the crowd and thanks mammography technologists for saving their lives through mammography. Then we have a very special, after the breast cancer walk and speech, and it's extremely engaging. Then we all celebrate together on a cruise boat and we go out. Duluth sits on Lake Superior, one of the Great Lakes. We go out through the harbor under the very famous lift bridge, go out into Lake Superior, have a wonderful celebration of being a mammography technologist and showing the survivors they're not alone. They come on the boat with us. This year, since it's my last, we have a theme for the show, and it's after the musical, The Greatest Showman. And we're calling this Duluth conference this year, The Greatest Show. So you're in for quite a surprise if you can make it. We'd love to have you. And you can find it on the MTMI website under mammography programs. If you are watching this and you have further questions, you can find my cell phone number on the initial training in mammography page on the MTMI website. It says, entering mammography, have questions, call Kathy, and there's my cell phone number. So you can call me as well for additional questions that you might have that we didn't get to. And I'm very happy to spend any amount of time with you that you need.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Kathy DeGelder, currently the Director of Women's Imaging for MTMI, provided so much information. Be sure to follow up with her. I'll add some links on here. If you're interested, thank you so much, Kathy.
You are so welcome. And it's been literally my blessing to have all of you in my life. So I've been blessed with a great career. It has been my passion to cross-train X-ray techs into mammography. It's a great field. So don't forget that. Think about it. And you will not be disappointed.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. And bye. That's
some of the coolest radiology shirts, underscrubs, notebooks, and stickers are available at my website, yourxraytech.com. Check it out.